Thy Kingdom Come. Chapter 1. Written by David W. Dyer. Introduction. The book which you are about to read has important theological and practical implications. In fact, they are monumental. Therefore, it should be read carefully, thoughtfully, and prayerfully. It is also essential to start from the beginning and read through to the end of the book without skipping over any material, since the ideas which are presented here are developed over many chapters. If the reader does not familiarize himself with the entire work, misunderstanding could result. There is sometimes a great temptation when first picking up a new book to look through the table of contents, find a chapter that looks interesting, and start reading there. Since many believers are not well acquainted with this subject matter, the results of such reading could be misleading. With this in mind, I would like to urge all serious readers to thoroughly study the information presented here before they form their final conclusions. Another fact which should be mentioned is that to understand the contents of this book requires spiritual revelation. Since we are going to be investigating the truth of God as contained in the Scriptures, we must seek divine revelation. Due to the inadequacy of the human mind to know God independently, when we are seeking to understand His will, we must rely on Him to enlighten us. So I would like to urge you, while reading through these pages, to do so in an attitude of prayer, having your heart and mind open to Jesus, that He may reveal His truth to you. Of course, this book is only a human effort. Nevertheless, let us pray together that God could use it to further unveil to His own more of Himself and His purposes upon the earth. Thy Kingdom Come. When Jesus Christ returns in His glory, this is not the end of the story for the present earth. Our Lord's plan is not to return momentarily, whisk believers off to heaven, and abandon the earth to a later destruction by fire. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. As a matter of fact, God has plans for this earth. After His return, He intends to set up a kingdom here. Centered in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, His authority will be established over all the inhabited earth. This kingdom will last for 1,000 years, and so is therefore known as the Millennial Kingdom. The people over whom He will reign are those few who have survived the tribulation period. Although initially their numbers will be very reduced from today's population because of the tribulation judgments, since there will be no wars and undoubtedly a lack of plagues and diseases during the millennium, the numbers of human beings on the earth will grow rapidly. We are not speaking here about the church or believers, but about normal people who by God's mercy survived His judgments on the earth. Not only will Jesus be reigning on this earth for 1,000 years, but Christians too will be involved in this kingdom. Those who have made themselves ready will reign with Him, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. Many believers have their hearts and minds set on heaven, but God is not finished with this earth yet. While it is good to set our mind on things which are above, Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, we also should be aware of and looking forward to what God is planning. We should understand what really is going to happen. After His return, His plan is to spend 1,000 more years on this earth. It is only after this millennial kingdom that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, which is what many think of as heaven. A brief time chart is being included here to aid the reader in understanding these events in their proper sequence. The illustration timeline chart is divided into two time periods. The first time period is labeled present earth and is followed by a second period of time called the new earth. Section 1, on the left, present earth has two timeline points. 7 days of creation is the first timeline point, We'll call that timeline point A. And the second coming is the next timeline point. We'll call that point B. Time period section 2, on the right side of the chart, is labeled New Earth. Eternity future, which is timeline point C, is above the New Earth time period section. That is, while the 7 days of creation comes first, and the second coming is in the middle of the timeline, the third timeline event, or timeline point C, eternity future, begins the new time period labeled New Earth. In light of the above facts, perhaps we as Christians should reconsider our present suppositions concerning the Earth and what our role in it should be. Perhaps we should relinquish our escapist philosophy and realize that God is not finished with the Earth yet, and neither are we. I am not talking here about a new plan to improve the environment or to end nuclear war. Neither am I going to recommend some social action to improve the present state of affairs. What I am proposing is that believers need to be getting ready for the next phase of God's plan on this present earth, the coming kingdom. Now, I realize that there are those who do not believe that there is an earthly kingdom coming, or think that it is here today, or even that it has come and gone already. But dealing with these doubts, misconceptions, and misunderstandings in any kind of thorough way is really beyond the scope of this book. Suffice it to say that if people do not see from the scriptures a millennial, 1,000-year kingdom where Satan is bound, Revelation chapter 20, verses 3 and 7, which surely he is not today, where Jesus Christ is ruling the nations with a rod of iron, and they are infinitely obedient to his will, Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, where the sucking child will play on the hole of the asp, and the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 8, where men beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks, and there is no more war. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, where Christ reigns physically on the earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25, Isaiah chapter 24, verse 23, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, reapportions the land of Israel among the 12 tribes, Ezekiel chapter 48, and builds again the temple, Ezekiel chapters 40 through 43, and Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. If they do not see in this an earthly physical kingdom of Jesus Christ, then I do not know how to convince them. There is just no way to prove anything to anybody from the scriptures if they are not open to it. However, if there are those who are not certain about this and are genuinely interested in a better understanding of the coming kingdom of God, then I suggest they go to a good Christian bookstore and buy some books written by authors who believe the Bible literally, just as it reads, and do some further study. Also, a partial listing of scriptures concerning the kingdom is being included at the end of this book for the serious Bible student. And we shall reign on the earth with him 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and chapter 20, verse 6. This earthly reign of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to King David that there would never fail of his seed one to sit on his throne. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, and John chapter 7, verse 42. It is the completion of God's commandment to Adam to have dominion over the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. A Sabbath rest to the people of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. The day of the Lord, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2, and much, much more. What a blessed fact that we, God's people, can be part of it with him. The participation of believers in this millennial reign of Christ is one of the most neglected parts of the gospel. Too often, We have skipped over this most serious subject while looking towards going to heaven for eternity. Yes, we should set our affections on things above, and it is true that our reward is laid up for us in heaven. But the Bible teaches that when Jesus Christ returns, he is bringing those rewards to earth with him. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. I am not suggesting that we fill our minds with earthly things, but that we prepare to bring the heavenly things to earth. This is part of the gospel. The kingdom reign of Jesus Christ is an indispensable part of what he came for and is going to do. And our role in this plan is of the utmost importance. So central is the idea of the coming kingdom to the gospel that when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the very first petition he spoke was, "Thy kingdom come on earth, just as it now is in heaven." Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, New American Standard Bible. It should be very significant to us that the first thing which our Lord taught us to ask for was the arrival on earth of God's kingdom. Also, a great many parables which he taught were about the coming kingdom and what it would be like. Certainly, we should not treat this subject as unimportant or inconsequential. Rather, with the return of the Lord drawing nigh, it is something to which all of God's children need to give serious and prolonged consideration. There is no way for the people of God to circumvent the kingdom. It is a part of God's plan for the earth in which we will all participate in some fashion or other. The amazing, but largely unannounced truth is that what we do today has everything to do with what our role in that kingdom will be. No matter how old we are, our time on the earth is not just about over. We still have at least 1,000 years to work together with our Lord for the accomplishment of his purposes in this world. Our faithfulness, our diligence, and in fact our whole manner of living in this present world will be the determining factor for what role Christ gives us in his kingdom when he returns. Can this be any surprise? Even in this earthly realm, people give places of responsibility and honor to those who are hardworking and faithful. Does not Jesus say that he will reward each man according to his works? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. This is exactly what he will do. With this in mind, in the following chapters, we will examine several aspects of the kingdom which have great relevance to us today. Many of these truths may seem startling, but I beg you, for your own sake, do not close your mind to them. After reading this book, search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things are true. By all means, do not be talked out of them by some well-meaning individual without looking into it thoroughly. The coming kingdom has much to do with you, and no one else can change your part in it. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. You have just listened to a chapter from one of David Dyer's books. These recordings, or copies of the book, are available at www.agrainofwheat.com. No spaces, all small letters. That's www.agrainofwheat.com.